I want to speak to you from Mark chapter 4.
Amen.
And from verses 1 through to verse 20. And this is the parable of the sower. And it starts off like this: "And he, Jesus, began to teach again by the sea. And such a very great multitude gathered to hear him. He got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the multitude was by the sea on the land." Now, some of you might wonder, well, why did he get into a boat? Why did he, you know, separate himself from the people? Simple answer is this: that because the sea is so calm, that it acts as a sounding board, and it's like an amplifier, and it amplifies the voice. I don't know if you've ever been on holiday and you've been in the, and you've seen people in the sea, and they're talking to one another, they're quite a way out, but the sea's very calm. You can hear, just about hear every word they're saying. So Jesus was using the sea as a sounding board to so that everybody on the shore, on the hillside, could hear the words of God. The words of the Son of God. Verse 2, "And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this, behold, the sower went to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came down and ate it. And other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and yet it yielded no crop. Another seed fell into good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Amen.
And as soon as he was alone, his followers, his disciples, along with his 12 disciples, began to ask him about the parable." Obviously, it didn't click.
No.
They were confused. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God."
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Disciples, to you have been given
Amen.
The mystery of the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. That exciting.
How privileged.
In other words, God is going to open your eyes to see the things of spiritual dimensions for his praise and for his glory, that you might be a testimony and a light for the glory of God.
Amen.
And in order that, verse 12, "and in order that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear, but understand, lest they return and be forgiven." You see, he says, but to the outsider, they don't understand these stories. They hear them, they see them, they don't understand them. And the Pharisees were very much like that. They heard the stories, they didn't understand them. So in verse 13, he goes on to say, "And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables?" And then Jesus goes on to explain and says, the sower sows the word. The seed that Jesus is talking about is the word of God. And we today sow that word of God into people's lives.
Amen.
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 The moment you start talking about Jesus, you start sowing seeds
Amen.
Into people's lives. Amen. We just need to pray, Lord, give us the good ground.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Give us the good ground. We don't want the pavements.
No.
We don't want the thorny areas and the weedy areas.
No.
We want the good ground.
Amen.
Give us the good ground. Show us the good ground, Lord.
Amen.
Where we can sow that seed and see lives being changed.
Amen.
To the glory of God. Verse 15, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. That's the stony ground. It falls in that area and the birds suddenly come down. Satan steals away the word that you have sown into somebody's life. It can be in your children because their hearts are still hardened yet. They need to be softened and prepared. And we need to pray that their hearts and the people that we meet, their hearts will be softened and prepared to receive the word of God.
Amen.
So often we can be disappointed. We share Jesus with so many people. And we hear them say, I'll come on Sunday. Sunday arrives. You arrive, they don't. How many times has it happened? Lost count. So do I stop sowing seeds?
No.
No. Does the farmer turn around and say, well, those seeds didn't come up, so I'm no longer going to sow in that field again? Probably goes back and he ploughs it and ploughs it and ploughs it and gets it ready again. And he just casts his seed. Some of it will fall on some bad ground. Some of it falls on good ground.
Amen.
And there comes a harvest. And so Jesus carries on and says here, verse 16, and in a similar way, there are the ones whom the seed was sown on rocky places, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. You've met those, haven't you? You know, you sow the word and it suddenly becomes so exciting to them. They receive the word of God. And then a few days, weeks, time, they've gone cold. Things have changed. We're going to look at these in a minute. Verse 17. He says, and they have no root in themselves, but only temporary, till then affliction or persecution arises because of the word, and immediately they fall away. Verse 18, and others are the ones whom those seeds are sown among the thorns, and these are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Yeah.
And those are the ones whom the word was sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. One verse that says, verse 20, and those are the ones whom seed, the word, was sown on good soil.
Yeah.
And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit.
Amen.
Some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. Yeah. We've all seen the different grounds.
Yeah.
We've all sown seeds in the different grounds.
Yeah.
The stony ground, not much depth, not much good soil. There is a bit of soil there. But so often the birds come down and they take away. The lies of Satan come and steal away the good news that has been sown into somebody's life. It's not for you. You'll never be any good. Who do you think you are? Of all the wrong things that you've ever done, God will never forgive you. When he comes and begins to try and steal away that seed of the love of God for all humanity, that seed, that same seed is pure, perfect, incorruptible. Yeah. It's the same seed that falls on the stony ground as falls into the good ground.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the seed.
No.
Remember that. Nothing wrong with you.
Amen.
Remember that. You're just a farmer sowing seeds. The word of God. And as long as you sow that word of God and you love and pray, then I believe you will see a harvest.
Amen.
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 You know, there are people on this stony ground, they make intellectual assent to what you say, but they actually never receive the truth.
No.
They'll have a debate with you. Oh, they love to debate the word. The Pharisees loved to debate the word with Jesus. He beat them every time, but they could never see the truth.
No.
They could never see that Jesus was and is the Son of God.
Yeah.
He's the Word.
Yeah.
He came that they might have life.
Amen.
But they were full of intellect. Mm. They were full of themselves. They were opinionated. Have you met any people like that?
Yeah.
But you just carry on and you sow. On that stony ground, it's a place where there's no real repentance. They agree with you, but when you've gone, they soon forget it. It gets stolen away. That thorny ground, well, the weeds manage to grow there. Have you noticed how the weeds manage to outgrow everything? When drought comes, the weeds get about this high and the grass is struggling to survive. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You have to go and cut weeds, not grass, most of the time in those areas. But the weeds and the ground there is full of weeds, it's full of thorns. And that's the conflict of life that goes on in people's lives. The word of God is sown into their lives, and then there's something comes into their life. There's a conflict. There are lies that the devil brings. There are doubts and fears that the enemy brings. He begins to destroy that which was planted. He begins to starve it of real life. He begins to starve it of the things that will keep it alive. Do you know, you and I need to have that word of God in our lives, because this is what keeps us alive.
Amen. Amen.
We live and breathe and have our being because of the word of God.
Yeah.
Without the word of God, I will be dead. Three times I could have been killed in my lifetime. I'm still here. Because God has a plan and a purpose for my life. So guess what? I'm sticking around, folks. You know, sorry about that if you don't like it, but I'm sticking around till God says it's time is finished and it's time to go. So I'm here. I'm pressing on. And then we find there's that good ground. And there, as I said, just in that explanation, there's just one verse, and Jesus says, this is the good ground, where there shall be some 30-fold increase, there shall be a 60-fold increase, there shall be a 100-fold increase. This is fruitful ground.
Amen.
Jesus is not saying that, you know, the 30-fold is a poor ground. He's not saying that.
No.
He's saying there's increase there.
Amen.
And suddenly, whilst I was preparing this word, I suddenly thought about the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
You remember that? He gave how many? He gave 5 to 1, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah? He gave how many to the other?
Two.
1 to the last one. And then he gave, was it 2 to the other? And then there was, so as time went on.
No, he gave 10, 5.
Oh, 10, 5 and 1. And as time went on, they brought an increase, didn't they? Except the one.
Yeah.
What sort of ground is that?
Stony.
Stony ground. Stony ground. Didn't bring an increase.
No.
Didn't bring an increase. No. You know, I saw something else about this. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, went into the wilderness? Who met him there? Satan. Oh boy. When you get out there and you're out alone,
yeah.
He makes sure you're not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sends his cohorts along because he thinks you're alone, but you're not. But he comes, and have you noticed, when he came to Jesus, he challenged Jesus with three things, didn't he?
Yeah.
Challenged Jesus with three things. But Jesus proved to him that Jesus had the good ground. You know,
amen.
Turn these stone into bread.
Yeah.
And Jesus realized that I have all the bread that I need. The Word of God.
Yeah.
I have all that I need. The enemy comes again and says to him, speaks to him clearly. And he says to him, look, you know, if you were to fall, the angels would catch you. Jump off this place.
Yeah.
And let's watch the angels catch you. Temptation. Don't try and test God, because God is always going to be there for you. And then he comes to him and says, well, all I want you to do is just bow down and worship me. It's all you need to do, and you can have everything. Did not Satan realize Jesus already had everything? He'd already got everything. He didn't need bread. His Father would feed him whenever he needed it. His Father would look after him whenever he needed it. And he didn't need to rule the world. He didn't need power and authority given to him. He'd already got it.
Amen.
But you know, if you go right back to the beginning of the Word of God, when Satan comes into the Garden of Eden, three times, he challenges them. You know, Adam had everything. God gave him authority to subdue and to rule in the garden. God gave him the ability and the authority to name the animals. He brought them to him. He had need for nothing. God said, anything you want is yours. But Satan used that trick. You can be all powerful. You can be all powerful. What a bad seed he sowed. And Jesus showed the second time how to beat the enemy. Always point yourself back to God. Always point yourself into the Word of God and let the Word of God set you free.
Amen.
You see, the enemy said, well, did God say? And Adam should have said, yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did. That's what the Word says. And he should have stood on that Word of God.
Yeah.
And he should have told the enemy, but I do have the authority. Because he did. God had given it to him right at the beginning and said, subdue, rule and reign.
Yeah.
Is that not authority?
Yeah.
From Almighty God?
Yeah.
Today, you and I, under the authority of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, need to rule and reign.
Amen.
over every principality and power that seeks to come against us.
Yeah.
And as we do that, we'll see the power of God moving in our lives and changing our lives.
Amen.
You know, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 9, and Jesus said this. He was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Have you got ears?
Yeah.
Well, I know for a fact, those of you wearing glasses have got ears.
Yeah.
Right? Because your glasses usually sit on your ears, don't they? That's the thing that holds them sort of in place a bit, you know. And the opticians always bend them around your ears, don't they? Have you noticed that? And if you get a new pair of glasses, after a day or so, you're thinking, ooh, I need to go and get these glasses adjusted. They're painful, just there's touching a certain spot, you know. So I know you've got ears. Bit of a silly statement, isn't it? To him that hath ears, let him hear. Well, surely everybody's got ears. What was Jesus meaning? To him that hath spiritual ears, to him that is willing to be taught.
Yeah.
You see? Steve and I were just talking before service. And you can meet people who have interesting doctrinal understandings. That's polite, isn't it? For me, anyway. Interesting doctrinal understandings. And when you try to direct them and show them things through the Word of God, their eyes are blinded. Their ears have become stopped. Their minds are no longer open to be taught. Do you know something? I don't care how old you are. You will always be learning about God and about His Word until the very last time you breathe your natural piece of breath. And then when you move into eternity, you'll still be learning all about God. Because eternity opens up to you.
Amen.
And anyone who thinks that in this tiny mind you have managed to know all about God, you're deluded. Satan has deluded you. And yes, I know that we don't have to agree on everything doctrinally. Because guess what? When we all get to heaven, what a day of finding out what fools we've been. They're going to say, "David, you thought that? Really, where did you get that from? Grace, how on earth did you come up with that one? Andrew, why did you preach that?" But I thought we need to listen to the voice of the Spirit. I do remember one time I was sharing a word in church, and when I got home, I was putting things together, and I just go and sit and just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And he said to me, "What you said today was wrong." And he picked a certain point that I'd brought out. And I went, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And he took me through scripture. So the next week I came back to church and I said, "I need to apologize because I misguided you. And the Lord has corrected me. Therefore, I need to share with you what the Lord has said to me." We have to be able to do that. Because guess what? David, I think he's possibly the oldest in the church, and he's still not perfect yet, and he's been on the road longer than most of us. Yeah?
Yeah.
And guess what? I hate to tell you, he's not perfect yet. I mean, how long does it take? More than a lifetime. You know, because when we move on into that heavenly glory, then that perfect work will be finished in us. But as of now, we're journeying, we're being perfected day by day. We're on God's potter's wheel at time, And you know, he's shaping and he's molding us and he's forming us into something beautiful. And so we have to constantly be listening and learning and receiving from God. And that's why we have a church leadership, so that when we share things, we allow ourselves, if necessary, to be corrected, to be guided. Because that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us, and we need to know the truth and the mystery of God in our lives. And so we need to have a teachable heart, a teachable spirit. No matter what age we're at, we never stop learning. We who ride motorbikes, we teach people to ride to another level, an advanced level, but we constantly learn because of our experiences that we see on the roads, the things that we go through. And you begin to see and you recognize things actually before they happen. It's incredible. If you'd have told me that some years ago, before I started doing my advanced training, that you can recognize what somebody's going to do before it happens, I might have laughed at you. But today we do. But you have to keep your eye on things. You have to be alert. You have to be tuned in. And in that same way, we need to be tuned in with the Spirit of God. We need to be alert with the Spirit of God. We need to be listening. And we need to know what the Spirit of God is saying about Doncaster.
Amen.
Not what's happening in London. What's happening in Doncaster? What is the answer for Doncaster? Doncaster is not London. I know we've become a city of some sort, but it's still not London. It's not Edinburgh. It's not Dublin, Belfast. They're different. What is going on in Doncaster? That's where we need to be. We need to be listening to the Spirit of God. We need to be asking God to speak to us. We need to be opening our ears so that God will speak the mystery to us. And as we look in verse 11 of Mark chapter 4, and Jesus says, and he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. To you? Who's the you? The disciples. The followers of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. To you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Wow. You mean I can know things about the kingdom of God and about God that other people don't know? Yeah. Why? Because you're his child. Because he loves you. Because he wants you to be equipped for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He wants you to know more about the kingdom of God than the world does. He wants you to be able to be equipped to share about God's kingdom and to see the power of God's kingdom flowing through your life.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And so today it's a mystery. It was a mystery to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's a mystery to the Romans. Today it's still a mystery. Even some church leaders, the kingdom of God is a mystery. Some church leaders, it's a job. They pay me a salary at the end of the month. It's my job. I bring them into the church, christen them, and then I bury them at the end of the church, you know, or marry them beforehand and then bury them at the end, sort of thing. That's my job. No, that's not the job. The job is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. The job, it's not a job, but, you know, I'm using that word. It's to be truthful, it's a calling. And the calling is to preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The good news is to preach salvation. The good news is to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons in the name of Jesus. That's the good news. That is what we are commissioned. That's what we are called to do. That calling rests upon each and every one of our lives. It's not a paid position. It's a calling. And do you know something else? It is a sovereign right for the children of God.
Amen.
Eh?
Yeah.
It's a sovereign right. It is your right to have that calling upon your life.
Amen.
Woo. It's exciting. It's your right. Because on that cross, the blood was shed for your sins, for my sins. And when we take Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's our right. It's our calling. And because of that, we have a right to enter into the presence of Almighty God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God tore. He tore the bars away. But he tore that curtain from top to bottom, it says. It doesn't say it was torn from bottom to top.
No.
Does it?
No.
You see, if a man had done it, it would have had to be torn from the bottom to the top. Yeah? But God took hold of it and rent it.
Amen.
So that we who receive Christ, who are washed in the blood of Christ, might enter in to the holy place, that we might have communion and relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in doing so, he can reveal more of himself to us as we journey in that relationship with him.
Yeah.
Through the words of Jesus, those words reveal to us the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Christ by faith. We take him into our hearts and our lives. And in doing so, that is one of the greatest miracles that can ever happen. The miracle of salvation. How does somebody that is on their way to hell, for whatever reason, through drugs, alcohol, or whatever it is, and when Christ comes in, there is a change.
Certainly is.
But that change can only remain whilst we keep ourselves in the Word of God, the good ground. The Word of God is the good ground, and we need that Word in our lives. You know, if we don't let the Word be in our lives and be part of us and let it form us and fertilize us, we'll fall apart. We need the refreshing of the Word of God. Some people might turn and say to you, well, I don't really need to come to church.
No.
You do.
What about you?
The Lord says, come together. Bring that body ministry. Bring fellowship. Bring that anointing. You see, each and every one of you has an anointing.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
But I can't do much. When God gets hold of you, you can do what he can do.
Amen.
I'm not getting very many amens on that one at all, am I? Either that or I've got you so spellbound or something, I don't know. You can do what God can do. What Jesus did.
Yeah.
Because he is, where is he? Is he in us?
Yeah.
I sometimes think we just haven't quite got it yet. And I'm talking to myself. And the devil wants to stop you. He wants to turn around to you and say, you'll never be any good, you know. You'll never be able to do that, you know. Don't even bother trying. You're always going to be a failure.
Never.
That's not the word. That's not what truth is from God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it with an abundance.
Amen.
In other words, not just scraping through, not just getting by, but living with an abundance within us. I'm not talking about money and all that sort of stuff, because, you know, the great crash in the 30s, people, loads of money, millionaires, billionaires, lost it all. That was their God. What did they start doing? Diving off high buildings and committing suicide. It's true. That's what they did. Their world had gone.
Yeah.
And they could see no way back.
No.
Hallelujah. I thank God that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Yeah. We're not reliant upon the system. Well, how's it going to work, Andrew? It works by miracles.
Amen.
How does that happen? I don't know. You talk to God about it and ask Him. But it works by miracles. It works by trusting the Word of God.
Amen.
That's how that miracle works.
Yeah.
It works by talking to God. And God hears you and He answers prayer.
Yeah.
I believe I have a prayer answering God.
Amen.
I believe He hears my voice. I believe He knows my name. I believe He has a destiny for me. Do you? Because all the children of God should believe and know that. And if somebody's told you any different, they've lied to you. If they've told you you're no good, they've lied to you. Because God does never invest in a failure. Every one of you is destined for success because of the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every one of you. Without Christ, we're nothing.
No.
But with Christ, we're everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who are you to the person you meet outside who doesn't know Jesus? You're the answer. You're the little Jesus that they need to meet.
Yeah.
You're the Son of God, one of the sons of God that they need to meet.
Yeah.
Oh, can you say that, Andrew? It's all right, though. The leadership will get me later if I got it wrong. But the Word says that we are sons of God. Is that true?
Yeah.
So I can say, you're sons of God. And when you go outside, you go out as a son of God.
Amen.
Not as Mick the sinner.
No.
Mick the saint.
Amen.
The son of God.
Yeah.
That's what we go out as. Chosen. Appointed.
Amen.
A destiny.
Yeah.
You know, in Corinthians 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, but God has chosen the foolish things so that He can confound the world. He can confound the wise. And He says, God also has chosen the weak things, that God can show Himself to be mighty through you.
Amen.
That's what God's going to do. It's not about what you've got. Because what you've got, He gave you anyway.
Yeah.
You say, what about He's got that He can add to you and give you more? And we put aside our weaknesses. We put aside our failures. We put aside the foolish things. Because they're worthless.
Yeah.
and we watch God work. And that's what we need to do. Verse 13, it says, "And he said to them, Do you understand this parable? And how will you understand all parables if you don't understand this one?" is basically what he's saying. And he talks and reveals to them the heart of the wicked. They're just unable to receive the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of the love of God into their hearts and lives. That's that ground that's so hard and difficult. And yet God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to know him whom to know is life eternal. Amen. You know, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, was he rich? He said he had everything. He had the gold and he had the jewels. He didn't need anything. Why would Satan come and say to him, "I can give you all of this, I can give you all of that"? He'd already got it, hadn't he? You read Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and just see what God is saying there. And he uses the same things, as I said earlier, to tempt Jesus. "I can give you this, I can give you that."
He can't give you anything.
Only a ticket to hell. Because that's where he's going. And that's the only thing he owns.
Yeah.
A ticket to hell. And we need to see people set free. And God will move in our lives and cause us to know life eternal in him. Even today, Satan still uses the same temptations that he used on Adam and Eve, on Jesus. He still uses the same temptations today. Money, greed, power,
yeah.
Rebellion,
yeah.
Lust of the eyes,
yeah.
The pride of life. All those things he still uses. There's nothing new, as Solomon said, under the sun. The devil has got no new tricks. So today, we ought to be smarter. The world ought to be smarter than what it is, but it ain't. Because the desire for these things is greater than the desire for eternity with Christ Jesus. They can't see it. But Jesus showed us the way. Jesus showed us where to look. Look into the Word of God. And the Word of God will bring you victory.
Amen.
If you're thinking, "Well, I haven't got victory today," go into the Word of God and get the victory.
Amen.
Because the victory is yours.
Amen.
It don't belong to somebody else, it's yours. It don't belong to the devil, it's yours. Everything that Christ has done, he did it for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
It's mine. I have a right to it through the precious blood because I've received Christ and I'm surrendered to him.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is my right.
Yeah.
Because Jesus purchased all of it for me.
Yeah.
Did he purchase it for you? Say, "Jesus purchased all of it for me. Jesus purchased all of it for me." Hallelujah. That's great, isn't it? And don't let the devil tell you you're not worthy of it because you didn't have to do anything to be worthy. He alone is worthy, and through being in Christ, he makes you worthy. He says that the word tells us that he clothes us with a robe of righteousness. We're not righteous in our own ways. We are filthy rags when we met Jesus. He took all those filthy rags, he washed us in his precious blood, he made us clean, and he put on a ring on our finger, he put a new robe upon us of righteousness and said, "You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. And I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He's defeated the devil. The victory is yours and mine through Christ Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do to Satan? He came back. Satan came back again. You know, same old trick, same old lines. Jesus had a different answer this time. And he says he crushed him, his head, under his feet. Hallelujah. Jesus might have had a bruise, but Satan received a crushing. He's crushed. He's beaten. He's broken.
Amen.
And we are set free.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Keep him underneath your feet.
Amen.
Don't let him get up and talk in your ear.
No.
Keep him underneath your feet. Put him where he belongs. Where Jesus finally put him. Right there, underneath your feet. Stand on the authority of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the word of God. And know that all power and all authority has been given to you in and through that precious name.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Keep doing it. Keep sowing the seeds. Keep rejoicing. Keep pressing in.
Amen.
It's coming.
Amen. Amen.
Harvest is on its way.
Certainly.
The screen shoots. There's a harvest on its way.
Amen.
Amen. Father, let's pray. Father, right now we just come before you. Father, we just ask that you would just draw us even closer to yourself.
Amen.
That today we would catch a fresh insight.
Yes.
Of who you are.
Yes.
And the truth of what you have for us.
Yes.
And who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that, Lord, we would stop listening to the lies of the enemy. We would stop listening to those who don't know you. But Lord, we would listen to your word.
Yeah.
And that, Lord, we would be captivated.
Amen.
By your word.
Amen.
And that we would walk in your counsel.
Yes.
And that, Lord, we would know your authority.
Yeah.
In our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Just keep your head bowed for a moment. I don't know if there's anybody who needs a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus. If you do, the altar's open.
Mm.
Just come forward and say, you know, I need to surrender more. I need to give him my all. I've kept something back, but I need to surrender all to Jesus. Don't be an Ananias and Sapphira who kept things back from God.
Yeah.
But surrender everything to him. And in doing so, God will give you a greater freedom and a greater anointing.
Mm.
For his praise and for his glory.
Yes.
Is there anybody? Father, we thank you for this day.
We do.
We thank you for the presence of you and your Holy Spirit in our lives each day.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that you'll help us to stand strong.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord, to continue sowing seeds.
Yes.
Father, pray that as we walk day by day with you, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
That operate.
Yeah.
In and through our lives.
Yes.
That we might give you all the praise.
Yeah.
And all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.